When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another episode of Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana University basketball news and discussion. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Podcast on the Brink is a joint production of the Assembly Call and Inside the Hall. For complete coverage of IU basketball, visit assemblycall.com and insidethehall.com. On this week's edition of Podcast on the Brink, we talk about what else? The flurry of recruiting news over the past 36 hours as Archie Miller lands his first 3 commitments. We were waiting for him to land his first one. He got that Sunday night with Race Thompson, with Jerome Hunter and Demezi Anderson soon to follow. And Alex Bozich is here to join me and provide insight on the recruitment of all three, the strengths and weaknesses of all three as players, and then a look forward to what Indiana will do now with its remaining open scholarships and what we can all expect. That coming up on this week's edition of Podcast on the Brink. Hey, real quick, a word about this week's sponsor, SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events because with SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There really is nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have SeatGeek on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and like I just mentioned, with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats to anything that I want to go to. I actually used SeatGeek to buy tickets earlier this year to see Yogi play here in Dallas. I bought my wife concert tickets for the summer. So SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. They save you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. Now, here's how to get an even better deal, which is Podcast on the Brink listeners get $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code BRINK, B-R-I-N-K today, and you'll get $20 back from SeatGeek. That's promo code BRINK, B-R-I-N-K. And now, on with this week's episode of Podcast on the Brink. Well, what a 24-hour period for the Indiana Hoosiers after a summer that was kind of going along a little bit slowly, not a lot of news. That first Archie Miller recruiting domino hadn't really dropped. Boom, all of a sudden, 3 of them drop in the span of about, 12, 14 hours. Alex, you're taking a little break from typing. Your fingers have to be a little bit hurt right now, so you get to speak instead of type. But the content creation goes on because this has been really one of the craziest recruiting days that I can remember for Indiana basketball.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. I think the main thing Indiana fans were waiting for, in terms of this era for Archie Miller officially getting going, was the recruiting to finally bear some fruit. And we've written about these names, we watched some of these prospects and various events throughout the spring and the summer, and all of a sudden 3 of them decide in a span of 24 hours that they want to be Indiana Hoosiers. So it's obviously an exciting time for those that follow the program and who have really been craving recruiting success for a long time. I mean, I think that's one of the things that really had folks frustrated, over the last couple of years, and now they have something to look forward to, particularly getting a top 100 in-state kid in Demezi Anderson. This is the first time Indiana's had a top 100 commitment from the state of Indiana since James Blackman Jr. So, wow. a lot of things to be excited about. We can obviously talk about each guy and kind of get some thoughts on each player as we move along here, but. Really one of the more notable in the 10 years I've been doing this, really one of the more notable 24-hour stretches in Indiana basketball recruiting in recent memory.
Yeah, just make sure you keep Twitter open just in case, Aaron Henry or Romeo Langford or someone else decides they want to commit tonight, because based on how things are going, you never know. So let's go back to the start. Obviously, this all began Sunday evening when Race Thompson decided to commit. And this is one that I think people who have followed recruiting closely thought might happen, at some point in the near future. But I think it still was a little bit of a surprise that it happened when it did. But what was the biggest surprise about Race Thompson's commitment is that he is reclassifying from the class of 2018 to the class of 2017. And even more surprising than that, he is going to redshirt next year. So he's not even going to play next year, but he will be on campus. He'll be practicing with the team, obviously working out with the team and getting himself ready. Before we talk about him as a player, I know you spoke with him, I believe. Can you kind of walk us through his decision-making process, both in why he chose Indiana and then why he made the decision that he did to reclassify into redshirt?
I think there was a comfort level with what Indiana pitched him on his role in the program. He spoke that he was very comfortable with Archie Miller, obviously, and he built a really good relationship with Tom Ostrom, who is a University of Minnesota graduate. He has strong ties to that part of the country. And really, they've only been recruiting Race for 3 or 4 months now. And, there was a lot of question whether they would be able to get him away from Minnesota and Iowa State, programs that had really recruited him for a long period of time. But I think this, the relationship overall with those two guys in particular, and then the official visit that happened in June, that was really kind of solidified based on the conversation I had with him, just solidified the fact that he would be comfortable there. It felt like home, and it was somewhere that he wanted to be. So I think all those things together really kind of sold him that this is what he wanted to do. In terms of, reclassifying and redshirting, it's something that he's able to get done academically to move up 1 year. He turned 18, actually, in June. So he'll actually be, a 19-year-old redshirt freshman when he actually takes the court for the first time. And I think it's going to be huge for him to spend that year in the program, getting to practice with the team, obviously getting to work with Cliff Marshall, getting his body right. Not that he's really, he's built pretty well, has a good frame, good length, but I think he's been banged up a little bit. He'll have a year off to kind of get his health in order in terms of being ready to go. And then, I think it's really a smart move for Indiana to go out and get a top 100 kid, bring him in, let him learn the ropes, and then have him ready to go for the 2018-19 season. So I think it's going to be a positive for Race, his decision, his development, and I also think it's a great get for Indiana to be able to get a kid who's that talented, get to bring him in a year early, and then have him learn in your system, and then have him ready to go after a redshirt year.
Yeah, and he won't be able to play, and I think some people were a little bit disappointed when they saw that he was going to reclassify and not play, because you're thinking, hey, this is a bigger guy, he can play down low. Maybe this could help solve our problem in terms of post depth behind Deron Davis, but it does sound like this is in the best interest of him, as a person, as a player, in terms of his development. And so I'm glad that Archie and the staff are taking the long view instead of just trying to, maybe rush him in, get him in to add some depth for this year. He'll still be able to help the team get better with what he's able to do in practice, in terms of making those guys better in between for games. And another interesting note about Race Thompson is that he is an AAU teammate, I believe. I don't think it's high school teammate, but he's an AAU teammate of Matt Hurt, who is a top 10 guy guy in the class of 2019, I believe. And so, you know, who knows if that has any impact on whether Matt Hurt decides to come to Indiana or not. But he's a guy that the Indiana staff is obviously targeting, and he's mentioned Indiana. And those two seem to have a pretty good bond, so that certainly couldn't hurt. Oh, shoot, no pun intended there, for real. Let me ask you this about Race Thompson, and I want to ask you this about all three of these guys, Jerome Hunter and Demezi Anderson as well. From what you've seen of him play, what are his two biggest strengths and then the biggest weakness that he's going to have to improve on before he's getting consistent minutes in the Big Ten?
The strengths that I saw with Race Thompson, I saw him in Dallas back in April. The first thing that stood out is just kind of the aggressive physical way that he likes to play. He's not a super tall guy, but he's long, and he plays long. He plays taller than his height. You know, you see some of these guys that maybe aren't don't have the height of a center or power forward, but they have long arms and they're able to, you know, make up for that. That was kind of the first thing that stood out. And I was really impressed with his ability to step out and shoot from the perimeter. Yeah, he had a pretty solid stroke, really shoots it well, good form. And in terms of the things that he has to work on, you know, I would say, and this goes with any kid that's coming into college, I think obviously defensively he's going to have that 1 year to kind of ramp that up. But I think he's pretty solid in that regard now, but he could always get better. And then I think he's a pretty good rebounder, but I think long term he projects to be a really, really elite rebounder if he's able to use his length effectively and carve out space. So, you know, I think overall he's a really good prospect, you know, definitely deserving of the top 100 ranking based on what I saw on the various circuits this spring. And I think Indiana fans should be excited that he's going to be a part of the program.
Let's talk next about Jerome Hunter, who committed earlier on Monday, and he is a small forward from Pickerington North High School in Ohio. And he's a guy that I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but that Archie Miller had kind of started his relationship with when he was at Dayton. Now, obviously, you know, Jerome's recruitment has expanded beyond Dayton now, you know, to where Indiana was recruiting him, you know, some other big schools in there like Michigan, Xavier, and others. But he's a guy that, you know, just from what I read, you know, sounds like he didn't even start playing basketball until just a few years ago. So really good athlete, you know, 6'6", 6'7", a good shooter. You know, when you watch, you know, some of the video highlights of him, looks to have a pretty good release on his jump shot. And, you know, kind of fits this bill now that we're seeing with some of these early commitments from Archie Miller of being a guy in that 6'6 to 6'8 range, you know, tall, can play multiple positions, you know, can step out and shoot, a real versatile guy. You know, it's a little bit too early to start saying, hey, you know, we know what the prototype is for an Archie Miller recruit, but it's nice to see, you know, the size and the length that Archie's been able to get from these first few commitments. But what can you tell us about Jerome? Because I know, you know, according to some of the ranking services that you see, he's the highest rated of these three recruits that have committed.
Yeah, same with him. I saw him in Dallas at the Adidas Gauntlet Circuit, and he was playing. Actually, there was two divisions back in the spring. There was a gold division and a silver division, and the silver division was some of the I don't want to say lower, lesser teams, but it was some of the teams that weren't invited to play in the premier part of the event by Adidas. But I kind of watched him at an offsite game, and Archie Miller was there along with Ed Schilling. And I talked to him after his game there, and that was the first time that I really learned that he had a pretty strong relationship already with Archie. He's an interesting kid because, you know, of the three guys that committed, obviously I did interviews with Demezi and Race Thompson, but Jerome, I have not seen any interviews that he's done with anybody to this point. He's a quiet kid. I don't think he really seeks out attention or wants to talk about himself. Just from talking to the program director for his AAU program today, that's just kind of how he's always been. He just likes to go about his business. But in terms of his game, he's a very, very intriguing prospect because I think he's only really scratching the surface of the player that he could become. He can score in a variety of ways, really good in transition, really good kind of catching the ball mid-post, knocking down jump shots. If you watch some of the video that we posted on the site, you'll see that a lot. Really good catch-and-shoot player on the wing, but he can also put the ball on the deck and go to the rim. I think overall, I agree with kind of the rankings in terms of him being the highest ranked prospect because he has a little bit more athleticism, I think a little bit more upside. I think all three are going to be really good players, but I think Jerome Hunter is more than deserving of his ranking, and I think he's going to be a guy, as you said, he really only started playing basketball as a seventh grader, has only really become serious about it these last couple years, and will continue to get better, obviously, once he arrives in college. And I think he's going to have a really good senior year and potentially move up in the rankings even more from where he already is.
Any weaknesses that stick out for him that could, you know, delay his emergence as a player once he gets on campus?
It's you know, you're nitpicking when you're looking at a top 50, top 60 kid, I think. I mean, yeah. to kind of go over things that he's going to need to get better at. You know, I think with all these guys, I think the biggest thing when they get into college is learning to deal with the physicality, learning to deal with the athleticism, because on their high school and their AAU teams, they're used to being the, you know, the top dog, the main guy on the team. When you get to college, you kind of hit that reset button. What you did in high school, what you did in AAU, it doesn't matter anymore. You're working to earn a spot on the roster. You're working to prove to the coaching staff that you're deserving, you know, of the spot in the rotation. And I think what we're seeing with Archie keeping the three guys from 2017, already got three guys coming in for 2018, all these guys are capable, and it's going to be competitive for minutes. And I think it's going to ultimately build a program that's going to have long-term success, because there's going to be a lot of competition in practice. There's going to be a lot of guys who are battling for minutes and a lot of talent on the roster. So, you know, but for Jerome Hunter, I think the sky's the limit. I think he's going to be a very good player as long as his development continues at its current pace.
And having him on the roster will definitely make any games announced by Bill Raftery more fun. So there's always that as well. Let's talk about Demezi Anderson. He, to me, he was the most surprising of the commitments, just because, you know, again, just from, you know, kind of what I had read and heard, it sounded like he was going to take a little bit longer. It sounded like he had been, you know, kind of leaning in the direction of Purdue, perhaps. And so, you know, obviously Indiana put that scholarship offer out there, but, you know, we'd kind of been hearing some chatter about Aaron Henry, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Demezi Anderson commitment comes out, and, you know, definitely a pleasant surprise, because he, to me, kind of tracking this over the last few months, seems to be a guy who has really been rising quickly. You know, that people are, you know, taking notice of, and he's getting seeming to get a lot more respect, and, you know, to where a lot of people are saying that he's the second best prospect in the state next year. I know he's a guy who can shoot it well, you know, and which is a good thing. It's a, like I said, that's what all these guys have in common. What can you tell us about Demezi as a player and the process that he came through to end up coming to IU?
Yeah, his recruitment's been interesting. As you mentioned, Purdue was a school that a lot of people talked about for a long time. But once kind of Indiana got in the picture, I think Michigan was kind of like this too. You know, those were two schools that he was obviously really intrigued with. He took a visit to Michigan, got an offer, took the visit to Indiana, picked up the offer. But from talking to him today, he's not a kid that says a lot, but he felt like when he visited Indiana that it was going to mean something for him to stay in his home state, play for the state school. And I think that was really when he got the vibe, once he took the visit, that Indiana was the place that he wanted to be. And I think the other thing that stood out talking to him, he mentioned that how he feels he and Jerome, who are kind of really the same position. I mean, they can both play multiple positions. They can both play both forward spots, but he thinks that they complement each other both pretty well. They can play together. Both of them can play guard multiple positions. And so, you know, a lot of times you'll see guys that are looking at rosters and say, oh, somebody committed at that spot, I'm not going to go to that school. But I think he's looking at it as like, you know, we can push each other. We can make each other better. We can play together. We're going to be complementary players to each other. And so that was really the thing that stood out from the conversation with him. You know, he's looking at this as a great opportunity to play with Jerome Hunter, to play at Indiana, to stay home, play for his state school. And I think overall, the visit was crucial. And then, you know, obviously once the dominoes here started rolling today, I think he got the sense that he wanted to go ahead and get on board.
And the first Hoosier to come from South Bend in a while as well. What can you tell us about his game?
Very good scorer, can score in a variety of ways. You know, I saw him at the Junior All-Stars in June at New Albany, and I think he was the leading scorer that game. The juniors beat the seniors. He along with Aaron Henry that game and Robert Fennessy, they all stood out, played particularly well. But Demezi just makes it look so easy when he scores. He can score, obviously shoot the three ball. He can pull up, stop, and you know, knock down shots. He also scored a little bit in transition. He's not an overly explosive athlete. I think that's one thing he'll have to develop, get a little bit better, fine-tune his kind of physique. He's not. He kind of, when you look at him, you're like, this guy doesn't look like a prototypical basketball player. But then he gets out there and he can just score, flat out score the ball. And I think that's really the strength that he brings to the table. And with all these guys, they can all shoot the ball from the perimeter. So I think you know, that's really gonna, you know, Archie Miller's teams at Dayton always won with grit and defense, but I think these guys have those tools, but they're also going to be able to score the ball pretty well. So I think it's really going to take the product that Archie Miller puts on the floor to the next level.
So I watched all of this happen Sunday night and Monday, and obviously, you know, with great excitement, you know, it's one domino after the next. It was just this flurry of activity. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking, holy crap, we got to slow down here a minute. We don't have a point guard yet. We need to get a big guy. You know, all these guys are 6'6", 6'8". You know, we got to balance this out. And then I went and looked at the scholarship number chart at InsideTheHall.com. You've got a link right up there in the navigation bar. And was reminded that even with the commitments of Race Thompson, Demezi Anderson, and Jerome Hunter, based on, you know, the fact that Indiana has five seniors this year, there are still three open slots still to go for next season. And obviously, you know, Indiana has offers out to, you know, point guard prospects like Darius Garland and David Duke, and of course in-state prospect Rob Finnessy, who Demezi Anderson apparently was texting you know, after he committed, trying to convince him to come. And then of course, you know, guys like Romeo Langford, and I'm, you know, and Lugans Dort as well from Canada, and I'm not as well versed on what other big men prospects might be out there. But what does this mean now? What is next for Indiana? Obviously, you know, if Romeo Langford wants to come, there's going to be a scholarship for him. Certainly Indiana needs a point guard. That's a priority. So you would think, you know, that you know, one of the remaining slots is going to be taken up by that. What do you expect Archie to do now with these three remaining spots? You know, point guard, obviously. What else do you see him targeting? And do you think there's a chance that he maybe doesn't, you know, fill all of these scholarships and rolls one over to the next class to try and get a little bit more balance there with the classes?
Yeah, I think what is going to happen, I definitely think a point guard is going to be brought in with this class, whether that be Fennessy, who, like you said, Demezi said he was texting and told me that he was already on him about getting him to come to Bloomington, that they needed to go to the same school together. I think that situation is obviously going to be resolved in the next month or so. I mean, Fennessy was telling me today via text that he expects to decide no later than August. So that one could be one to watch out for. Obviously, as you mentioned, Romeo Langford, there'll be a spot for him if he wants. And then that other spot, I mean, Aaron Henry has this offer. He's talked about deciding this fall. So, I mean, you know, I think that Langford recruitment is going to go to the spring, so that spot should be open. Beyond that, you know, you mentioned the big man situation. There's just not a lot of quality bigs out there in 2018. I think this is something we've talked about before. And looking at the roster now, potentially for that 2018-19 season, you could have obviously Juwan Morgan on the roster, Deron Davis, Race Thompson, Clifton Moore. I think that's, you know, Would you like to have a really good dominant big guy to go along with Daron Davis? Yeah, but I don't think they're going to reach for somebody just to fill a spot, just to have a big guy, just to have a guy who's a certain height. I think you can get away with kind of those four names that I mentioned if you have to, unless you find something that really fits. So, you know, I think there's a good chance they could get two more guys in the fall here and then potentially save a spot for the spring. And, you know, if Romeo doesn't go their way, there's always a chance, you know, you could look for somebody else late, bank the scholarship, grad transfer situation, all that stuff. So I don't think that we're going to be in the situation where we're wondering how scholarships are going to be freed up. I don't think Archie's going to be someone that's going to oversign or use that like we've seen in the past. But I think you kind of hit it right on the head there with some of the names you mentioned, Jared. I think those are kind of the names to watch. We'll see how some of these other guys pan out as the summer rolls along. But just to kind of go back to the whole inside-out recruiting approach, I mean, I think people were wondering when it looked like they passed on Musa Diallo, you know, kind of what to make of that comment and how it was going to come along. But I think now you're seeing with what they've done with these first three commits, they're kind of staying true to that. I mean, Demezi Anderson, obviously an in-state recruit. Race Thompson is a guy from an area where they have somebody on staff that's really connected, has ties with Tom Ostrom. And then Jerome Hunter is a guy from Ohio, where Archie Miller just worked, you know, for the last 6 years, has a pre-existing relationship. So they're really going with areas and things that they know, places of strength where they can build the recruiting classes. And I think that's going to continue for the foreseeable future.
Obviously, you know, any concern that IU fans might have expressed about, you know, why haven't we gotten a commitment yet? What's going on? I think everybody wanted, you know, Archie to be hired and then, you know, like get 2 5-star commitments in the next couple of weeks. You know, anything that didn't equal up to that, there was going to be some concern expressed. But I think, you know, obviously now you can kind of put that concern to bed. I mean, is there any way to look at this other than a really, I mean, obviously, you know, these last 36 hours have been really exciting, but is there any way to look at this other than just a really successful, you know, kind of beginnings of a first recruiting class for Archie Miller? I mean, you got 3 top 100 guys. Obviously, there's not necessarily that 5-star headliner yet, but personally, I like how this is shaping up because these guys all seem to me like 3, 4, heck, in Race Thompson's case, maybe even a 5-year player, the kind of guys that you want to build your program around. And look, if you can get Darius Garland and Romeo Langford some 5-stars, you're going to take them and you'll be excited about it, and it will certainly accelerate the success. But I like that all 3 of these guys seem like really good, solid program building blocks that really seem to fit the vision for how Archie has played before and how he wants to play in the future. So, I mean, you don't want to overreact to it, obviously, on the positive end, just like, you know, folks probably shouldn't have overreacted on the negative end before the commitments. But it's hard to be anything but really, really positive when you start to see results like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the 5-stars, you know, those are a limited number every year. I mean, there's 20, 25 guys, and you're going up against the heavyweights in college basketball that have consistently landed these players. Indiana's gotten their fair share, obviously, over the last 9 years, but consistently they have not gotten those players. I think how they get in position to get those players with regularity is to build a baseline for success in the program, which is something they had not established. And how do you do that? You bring in guys that are top 100 players consistently every recruiting class. You bring in guys that fit a certain mold of what you're looking for that you're going to be able to plug into your program and use for 3 or 4 years, and so that you don't have those seasons where you drop back and miss the NCAA tournament. And when you start having that success and you start building consistency year over year, those 5-star guys will start to take notice, because those guys in a lot of cases want to go to programs where if they're going to be a 1-and-done or a 2-and-done, they want a chance to go to a Final Four. They want a chance to win a national championship. And what are they going to look for when they are looking at programs? They want to see a team that's had success year over year, that's going to have some experience on the roster, that's going to have talent where they can go in and they can have a chance to make that run. So I think what you're seeing now with these three guys, keeping hold of the 2017 class as well, you're going to have a program that's going to start to build some continuity. You're going to have some guys that are going to be in the program for 3 or 4 years. And then ultimately down the line, I think it's going to bode well for Indiana as they'll be able to recruit, I think, even more talented players once they're able to sell the on-floor product at the success that Archie Miller and the coaching staff should have going forward.
One final question for you. I know we brought up Aaron Henry before, he's still got that scholarship offer out there. You know, I think some people wondered when they saw Jerome Hunter and Demezi Anderson both commit that, you know, can you really take another guy like Henry, who's a 6'5", 6'6", guy, plays a similar role? But that scholarship offer is still out there. Would you be concerned at all? I mean, if he takes that, is that too many guys that kind of play a similar position? Or, you know, are his attributes of just, you know, clearly he's a winner and a good skilled player. Do you just want to stockpile as many of those good basketball players as you have, and you can kind of figure that out later, especially with some of the ways that, you know, positions are, less and less important now in basketball?
I think if Aaron Henry wants to come to Indiana, Indiana should take Aaron Henry from what I've seen of him. Like you said, he's a winning player. He just won a state championship in Indiana at the highest class level. He continues to get better. He's a versatile player. He kind of fits the mold of these other guys that they've taken. He worked hard this month, the last couple of months, to earn the Indiana scholarship offer. They're not going to just say we don't want you anymore just after offering, but I will say this, with some of these guys, at some point they're going to have to make a decision, because I don't think Indiana is going to stop recruiting some of the other names on the board, and at some point you do fill up. So I think in certain situations, and I'm not speaking specifically to Aaron Henry, but you mentioned Romeo. I think he's going to have a spot regardless of when makes his decision. But the other spots, I think if some of these guys are going to want to come to Indiana, they may want to maybe speed up their process and decide that that's really what they want to do, because the ball is rolling here a little bit downhill, and spots are going to become a little more scarce moving forward. You've already got three guys kind of in the barn, so to speak, for 2018, because you really move Race, even though he's going to be on campus. He's going to eventually fall back to be a 2018 guy because he won't actually see the floor until then. So only a limited number of spots. Some of these guys are going to have to jump on the opportunity if that's what they want to do.
Hey, I do have one more question for you real quick, just about how this stuff typically goes. Like, when you have, say you're recruiting like three guys at a certain position, like Indiana is right now at point guard, mm-hmm. Like, how does that typically work when all those scholarship offers are out there? Is it basically first come, first serve, with it just kind of known that, look, we're only going to take one point guard, so, you know, you've got this offer. If you're the first one to take it, you take it, and the other ones are kind of rescinded? Is that unspoken? Is that explicitly stated? Like, how does that kind of thing work when you're going after multiple high-profile guys at one position?
Yeah, I can't speak specifically to what this staff, how they do it, or, you know, previous staffs, how conversations went. As a general rule of thumb, I think there's different ways that different staffs do it. If you have multiple guys at the same position, you could go and say to them, you know, we're recruiting, we want one point guard in this class. We've got three or four offers out. We're going to take the first offer. That's probably not a strategy that's going to work with a five-star kid that has options everywhere to go wherever they want. But, you know, a kid that's maybe a little bit further down the list has fewer options and really is interested, that might be something that gets them to look and say, hey, if this is what I want to do, I need to take it now because it may not be there. But generally speaking, I think, you know, kids are aware of how many spots are available at a certain school. They don't, you know, they know if their offer is, if they can commit at any time. I mean, really, the whole business of reporting offers, you know, an offer to me is only legitimate if you can actually call the head coach at that point and say, I'm coming to your school, and they say, great, we're going to take you. So I think in this case with the Indiana staff, I think they're being a little bit more cautious in terms of offering kids. They're offering kids that they want, that they really want to come to Indiana, that they want to commit. And I think the case with Aaron Henry is that they do want him to come still, despite the commitments that they've taken. But you know, the spots are starting to fill up, and you know, it's my understanding, like you said, that his spot is still committable, but there will come a time where he's probably gonna have to make a decision if he wants to come or not. Because, like I said, I don't think Indiana's going to slow down on some of these other guys that are maybe higher ranked or other opportunities that could become available. So that's kind of the risk you take. You know, if you're a five-star kid, that can go anywhere, you can probably wait a little bit longer. You're going to have your spot. But if, you know, if there's only, you know, two more spots left and Indiana's got offers out to five or six guys, they obviously can't take them all. So you have to know that. And if it's a situation where you want to come, you better jump on it when you have the chance.
Yep. Well, Alex, thanks for staying up late and taking some time to chat so that we can get this episode out. On a night like tonight, do you sleep better after a busy, hard day of work? Or is it going to be hard to go to sleep because you're going to have one eye ready to go look at Twitter and see if another commitment happened, or just, you know, you're keyed up from the excitement of the day?
Man, these are the best days. I don't know if I may have, we may have had a conversation a couple weeks ago that things were a little slow. And yeah. So I was waiting for a day like this. And these are really the days that I enjoy.
They are the most fun days.
The perspective of just being able to get all this information out there and have so many people look at it, have people be excited, the comments that are going on both on the main side and the forum. It's been a blast. And I'm just generally someone that kind of leads a community of a lot of that, where a lot of fans come to gather and talk about Indiana basketball. I'm excited that people are excited again.
Yeah. And you get to talk with, you know, 17, 18 year old kids making a huge decision in their life, you know, right after they've done it. And there has to be a lot of enthusiasm there talking with them too. So
absolutely. It's fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Very cool. Alrighty, Alex, thank you. And we will, we'll talk soon. Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. We always appreciate you being here. To get more from me and from Alex, visit assemblycall.com and insidethehall.com for complete coverage of Indiana University basketball. If you liked this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or family member who loves IU basketball as much as you do. You can also support the show by leaving a rating and review on iTunes, which helps us get the word out to more IU fans like yourself. We'll be back next week with another brand new episode. Until then, as always, go Hoosiers.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.